Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Let me ask you a question. Are you a woman who finds it hard to balance all the responsibilities in your life? Are you a woman in a perpetual cycle of busyness and don't know how to stop? Are you so busy fulfilling everyone else's needs and putting everyone first that you have no time for yourself? If you answered yes to any of these questions, this show is for you. If you are awash in commitments that never allow for moments of self-care, personal enjoyment, and individual reward, stuck going round and round, you may be on what my special guest, Dr. Jamie, calls the Ferris wheel. Dr. Jamie Kulaga says, you may be a superwoman, and that's superwoman, but not necessarily a superwoman, all one word, a woman who knows how to achieve balance between life and work and be personally fulfilled. Dr. Jamie is a licensed mental health counselor, certified professional coach, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. She is a frequent mental health expert on TV and has been featured on Forbes.com, in Glamour, Self, and Prevention magazines, and on Maria Shriver's blog. She is the author of the remarkable purse-sized handbook, Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment, Step-by-Step Strategies to Create Work-Life Balance. This book is the essential quick start guide to getting your life back on track. Dr. Jamie is here today to help you take back control and gain the balance in your life that you deserve. So let me introduce you to my special guest today, Dr. Jamie Kulaga. Good morning, Jamie.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I was loving that music. I hope everyone got to hear that, like, music before you started talking. I was jamming out to it. I was like, I need this on iTunes. This is great.
Yeah, it's a band called Love Shadow, and the song's called There's a Better Way, and it's just, I think it's a free download, so yeah, check it out. It's really, really interesting. I know, I jam to it every time, you know?
How do you not? Even if that's not your style of music, like, how would you not just, like, break it down? Like, I was breaking it down, so.
Thank you. I like it a lot. So, all right, let's talk about your book. Okay. Why did you write this book?
Okay. So the short answer is my clients. What was happening is I was coaching clients on a national platform, but no matter where they were, the one thing that they had in common was they all wanted workshops on work-life balance. I began looking. I looked in LA, I looked in New York, I looked in Miami, all the hot spots. Couldn't find what they were looking for. At that point, I created the workshops, the Superwoman workshops. in those workshops, I saw success between the women. They were forming relationships that were lasting a long time. They were learning to say no and not feel so guilty about it. At that point, I bundled their successes, my knowledge, some experiences, and put it into what is now the international book, The Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment.
Wow. Wow. Now, can you define or separate superwoman from superwoman?
Yes,
because you
I
do
can.
That in your book, yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay, so superwoman, two words, is every woman. It is a woman that is super. All of us women have learned we do not need a book for this. We know how to juggle. That's evident. We can keep saying yes to things, and we've got it. We might be stressed out. We might be unfulfilled, but we can juggle. We can get it done. That is a superwoman, two words. The superwoman, one word, is a woman that has balance. She is a woman that, yes, she juggles these roles, but she has no problem giving to herself. She doesn't feel guilty if she says no to not taking on tasks that would take her off her track to her goals. So she's really, really okay with giving to herself. And not only okay, but she knows she has to do it, and she does it.
That's great. Yeah, you know, in your book you say that women spend a lot of time being uncomfortable, perhaps to avoid feelings of guilt or the fear that we might lose someone if we focus
yes.
on ourselves. Women have a real problem with focusing on themselves, don't they?
They do, and there's a lot of guilt that comes with that. Women are people pleasers. We're people pleasers by nature. So when people ask us to do something, we say yes, because not only does it make us feel good for the moment, but we know we've satisfied someone else. But the problem is we walk away with more life roles and more responsibility. Now, when you say no, the payoff is in the end. And sometimes we want that instant gratification of making people happy. But there's different ways, and we can talk about this at some point today whenever you want, but there's different ways to be able to say no to someone and not feel so guilty about it. That way you can still say no and be a people pleaser at the same time.
Right. Oh, I definitely agree. There's an art to saying no. I definitely agree. You say that women should identify the five life roles that make sure that they are number one on the list and then give 100% to these roles. What are life roles and how do we identify them?
Okay, this is the most important point. Before you set goals, before you work towards balance, before you work towards fulfillment, you must identify your life roles. Whether you're in a coaching session or you're reading the book, here are the first steps. So I encourage everyone out there to take a piece of paper and make a list of all of your life roles. These are going to consist of mother, spouse, caregiver, maybe you're an employee. So you're writing these down, but it goes beyond that. You might also be the laundry doer, the family CPA, the therapist to negative Nancy in the office, the PTA mom, the chauffeur for, you know, the Joneses down the street. And so you want to make a list of all the roles that you play on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Then you go through and you circle the top five. Oftentimes after you create this list, you're going to look at it and you're not going to be on the list. So go back and make sure you put yourself on the list, and that does need to be one of the five. So now you've circled the remaining four. And these are the roles that you give 100% time to. So people will say, well, yeah, I love my children more than laundry, but Jamie, I can't not do the laundry. I'm sorry, I can't give 100% to my children. What 100% means is 100% dedicated time. So when you're with your children, you're in the moment present with your children. So that doesn't mean you're with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means instead of spending 4 hours with your children on the computer and on the phone, not even speaking to them, instead you spend 25 minutes with them on the floor with no technology around you, nothing else to do, and you're playing Thomas the Train and you're pretending with them for 25 minutes. Same as if you're at dinner with a spouse. Be present with him. Don't be talking about the kids. Don't be talking about work. Be present with him. So that's what dedicated time is. And the importance of that, just so everyone knows, is that when you say to your kids or your husband, hey, listen, I've got to go now and I've got to work on XYZ, you walk away with less guilt knowing that they've been satisfied and they're okay with it. They're like, okay, she gave me what I needed. Now she's got to go do her thing. So having those top life roles in balance will balance out everything else that you have going on because those are strong and intact. Does that make sense?
That- Oh my gosh, yes. And then you say sometimes you have to drop a role before you add a new one. So if something comes into your life, like you talked about, at some point you had to drop your workshops for a while because you took on something else. That we can't we can do anything we want, but we can't have everything. We can't do everything
yes.
at once.
Yes, it is so true. And while I love the workshops, I was seeing success between the women. It was something I was passionate about. I love them. I wanted to write the book. Well, wait a minute. I'm still mom. I'm still employee. I'm still wife. I'm still this. I'm still that. Holy cannolis. I've got to take something off of my plate in order to go ahead and write this book. There's a lot of marketing. There's a lot of things that come along with the book, extra responsibility. And I knew that I couldn't be as effective for the women in the workshops, nor could I, I mean, really, I wouldn't even have been able to do it. They take a lot, it's a lot of time commitment. So I said, what on my plate am I willing to put aside? I can come back to it so that I can write this book. And that's what I chose at that point in my life to put aside. So for those of you that are running amok right now and you're feeling totally unbalanced, what can you delegate out? What can you put on hold? And if you answered nothing, you're not thinking strong enough. You do. You. There is something that we can do to put things on hold or take a step back or reverse a little bit. And I've learned that. And it's a hard thing to learn.
Yeah, I mean, that is. And, you know, in the beginning when you were talking about all the different roles that are possible, you know, I mean, we just don't realize how many roles we play, women especially, play in life. It is incredible. No wonder we feel overwhelmed.
Yes, yes, exactly. And that's the thing. And every day you wake up, there will be another role that can be added to your plate if you continue to say yes. So some of the tips, I'll give everyone out there a few tips right now on how to say no or how to delegate out. So one of the things is that when someone approaches you and says, hey, can you take on this project, let's say, a great way to back out of that is to be like, listen, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I appreciate that. But you deserve 100% on this project. And I know with all the responsibilities on my plate right now, I wouldn't be able to do that. And then follow it up with a solution. Maybe you say, you know, Katie down the hall, she has been dying for an opportunity like this. Why don't I reach out to her and see if this is something that would interest her? Or, hey, you know, I can't do this right now, but I do have some resources to get you started. Let me email you some of those links. And then you're being very professional about it, respectful. You're not leaving them hanging, which is typically why someone would get mad at you if you said no to them, because they don't know where to go now, so it provokes anxiety in them. So kind of give them a couple resources or a few tips on how they could get jump started, and that's a great way to say no and sort of back out of it. And then one other thing that you can do is I encourage everyone to retreat, rethink, react before you say yes. So in all of the situations in life where you're going to say yes or no to something, if you're hesitant or your gut's telling you think about it, go ahead and take a step back, give the person a time frame. Hey, thanks for reaching out to me. Let me get back to you in 24 hours, 10 minutes, 7 days, whatever it might be. Let me retreat from it. You go ahead, you rethink about it. Think about the pros and cons of taking this on or not, and then go back and react to it. That'll shut down that impulsivity that we have when we just want to say yes right then and there without thought behind it.
Right. Those are great tips. And really, it right, like you say, it makes you look professional. It doesn't leave you with guilt for having said no. It doesn't leave them thinking you left them high and dry. So these are really, really great tips that we can all use.
And one of the worst things that you can do is say yes and take back your yes. You really lose credibility for that. One of the, I know you said you had read through the book, so one of the scenarios that I give is about a networking group. I'm not sure if you remember that. And I talk about sitting there overwhelmed. Every time I get in the car, it was literally my cry time. I would get in the car, I'd go from one job to the next, one event to the next, and I would cry. And then right before I pull in, I freshen my face up, I go in, and I remember being completely overwhelmed, crying on my way to this event. I get out. Okay, I've got it together. I go in there. Come on, Jane, you got this. I go in. I'm at the event, and the event's going on, and I see the president of the event walk up to me. And I don't know what he's going to say. I'm not scared or anything. He walks up, and he asks me to take on a leadership role.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I remember sitting there, and you know, leadership roles take time, effort, and you're not getting paid for this, okay? So I'm sitting there, and he asked me, and I look at him, and I remember like a movie in my head. It's saying in swear words, which I'm not going to say right now, don't do it, Jamie, don't do it. Nope, say no, say no, say no, say Jamie. Yes, I would love to take on that leadership role. Thank you. And I, and that's just how it happened. And then I walked into the bathroom and I broke down in tears because I was not seeing my children. I was not seeing my husband. I felt I was not being a good wife. Not just did I feel, I wasn't being a good wife. And for me to do that was out of line from my life roles and my priorities. And I didn't know about life roles at the time. I hadn't gotten there. And so I went in there and I felt like, wow, I must have disappointed my husband that if I do have an extra 10 seconds of time, I'd rather give it to a leadership role than give it to him. What was I thinking? You know, and so then I did what I told everyone just not to do, and that was I ruined my credibility, and we work so hard for it, especially as women, and after like a couple weeks into it, I backed out completely from it. I didn't carry any of the weight, no responsibilities. I quit the entire networking group all to begin with, so not even the leadership role, the whole thing. And people were like, what happened to the girl? But that was me getting so overwhelmed and just completely shutting down. So learn from me. Don't say yes and then take it back. You lose credibility from something like that.
You've definitely been there. I mean, that's like such a perfect example of, you know, what we all experience. Then you also talk about goals and the five qualities of good goals using the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Okay, so when you set goals, you want to set SMART goals. It's an easy way to remember it. And these are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound goals. So pretty much when you're going to set a goal, you want it to be specific, measurable, attainable, and realistic. So you don't want to say something like, I want to lose weight. That's not specific, nor is it measurable. So saying something like, I want to lose 15 pounds by tomorrow. Let's just say that. I want to lose 15 pounds by tomorrow. Okay, so it's measurable because we've given a day. It's specific because we want to lose 15 pounds, but tomorrow is not realistic. So then if you say something like, I want to lose 15 pounds by December 2015. That's a little bit realistic. That's possible. You could do that. So make sure when you're setting goals that they're realistic to your life and they're specific. One of the things that we do if we get the specific and measurable right is that we're not getting the realistic right. And where that often comes from is by comparing. So a lot of times, let's say you're a mom, you've got three kids, you're a wife, you've got a business, and you've decided you are going to find fulfillment. Something you've always wanted to do is go back for that MBA. Okay, fabulous. So you've made that commitment. It would be foolish of you to go ahead and set the duration of time it is going to take to get that MBA from someone, let's say a girl, she's 22, straight out of college, no kids, no job, full scholarship, whatever it might be, and she's going right on in to her MBA program. There's a lot of different factors there. Do not compare yourself to her. Take a look at your life and say, okay, based on the fact that I own this corporation, I'm married, I have kids, we're kind of tight on funds right now, maybe it will take you 3.5 years to get that MBA versus a year and a half or two. So be very realistic and don't compare yourself. And not only for goals, even just your general life, be cautious in comparing. So many times we compare ourselves to the Joneses. Oh, well, they do it like this. I did that. Here's another mistake. One that you could learn from me is with dinner. One of the things that I most value for my personal life is getting dinner with the kids and my husband every single night. So I will tell you that now when I do dinner with my family, it might be at 9 o'clock at night. If a night is running late for me, it might be 9 o'clock. The Joneses don't do that. The Joneses eat dinner at 5:30, if you didn't know that, and they have their kids in bed by like 7:45, and they're sleeping by 8. But unfortunately, I'm a Kalaga. I am not a Jones. And so I said to me, what is more important to me, getting my kids to bed on time, which I can see the value in that, or eating dinner with them every single night, catching up about their day, finding out what their problems are, and meeting as a family once a day? To me, I value that more. So if they go to bed at 10, yes, they're 8 and 5, and people out there are probably cringing, but yes, they're going to go to bed at 10 then. That's something that I want them to pass down to their children. So instead of comparing and just missing dinner and saying, well, I can't do it, I'm going to be home too late, oh well, I make sure that that happens in my family. So no comparing.
Right. I agree. I think that's so important. Kids, they're only going to keep their memories of what they did that day for a very short period of time. And if you don't catch it, if you don't discuss it that day or, you know, within a few hours or whatever, they're just going to, you ask them how their day was and they go, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't really have anything to tell you. Right.
Yep, that's so true. And I want them to grow up not being like, well, I was in bed by 8:30 every night. Oh, yeah. Everything, it's great. Instead, I want them to be like, every night, the one thing I remember is we always had dinner as a family. I don't
think
they're 22, they're going to care that they went to bed at 8:30. So.
No, I agree. And you also talk about, work when you're dealing with your children, you say that we should guide and mentor our kids instead of trying to change them. So when they have situations in their life, we should encourage them to take control over their own situations, which is so not popular right now with so many helicopter moms and...
Yeah, no, I do think that we should guide and mentor them. So many times we go into a conversation with our kids and we're talking about how it was for us. Okay, honey, I get it, but you know what? You need to leave him. I've been there. I remember that. Oh, my God, you're going to have so many more boyfriends after that. This is going to be nothing. You're not going to marry him. You know, and we have this, and it's true. She's not going to marry him. It's true. She should leave him. You know, if you're talking to your teenage daughter. But we have to put ourselves back in her shoes for a moment. And we have to remember, pretend it was our first time going through it. Do you want someone to tell you, leave him, it doesn't matter, just get over it, I've been there? No, you want some sympathy. So take the time to coach and mentor her. So you know you're going to irritate her, if anything, by telling her all of these things that she should do or that you've been there. Oh, and she only knew how bad it really was for you. Instead, get to the nitty-gritty. Okay, maybe she should leave him. But you know that if you tell her that, she's not even going to come to you for the next thing, or she might end the conversation. Instead, try something about confidence or self-respect and teach it from a different way, a coaching way, a mentoring way. There are so many girls that come into my office and I'm like, how do you not see these red flags? That's the truth. And eventually they do. But it's about bringing awareness to them about the red flags. Reshifting focus back onto themselves. How can they be happier, be healthier? And by boosting confidence and self-esteem and making them see other areas of life, they end up saying, why am I with this guy? And then they leave. So that's sort of the route that I'm encouraging you to go with your children. Is a very coaching and mentoring as opposed to, I've been there, I know how it feels, get over it type of mentality. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you 100%. That worked so well with my children. I mean, the turning point in my son's teenage years was when I said to him, look, I wasn't happy with what he was doing. I said,
yep.
I've done it. I've been there. I know what it's like, we can talk about this. And
yep.
it made me human to him. I wasn't mom anymore. I was somebody that could relate, and it changed everything. It changed the nature of our relationship. It changed his outlook on life, everything. So I am 100%.
Yes, I love that. And it's not that you can't tell them you've been through it. You want to relate to them. They need to know that you've been through these things. But it's not to dismiss them and be like, okay, I've been there. You need to do what I've done. You need to do what
right.
I've done. No, just let them know you're human and now you're done with you. Teenagers especially, they actually can compare them in some respects, researchers do, to infants, in that they're very selfish and they're very self-focused. That can't be changed, and that's okay. Infants mm-hmm. need to be selfish and self-focused. That's what they need to do. And teens, too. They're finding their identity. They have hormone changes. They're growing. They're seeking independence. They want responsibility, but they still need mom. I mean, they're all over the place. So when you converse with them, make it about them, not about you. And that's what I do in coaching, right? I don't sit there and just talk about me in a coaching session. As I mentor right. and coach, the focus is on them, and it works.
Right. Oh, I so agree with that. Something that a lot of people have problems, and you do address this in your book, is people have problems with perfection. And I like what you said. You said those who are trying to seek perfection only stay at the same point in life. Whatever they do is never good enough. So that they should strive for self-actualization instead of trying to be perfect at everything they do.
Yes, yes. Something that I would encourage everyone out there to know about perfection is that it is subjective. And what that means is that perfection to me is going to be different from perfection to you and to Joe and Sue and Mary and everyone else. So as you're chasing something and you're trying to be perfect, you're never actually obtaining it because perfection is subjective. And it's actually ever-changing too. So as you're chasing something that's non-existent, your confidence decreases. So it is a killer to success. It is a killer to being confident in taking the next step on the mountain or starting a new journey because you're never really obtaining anything. Now, if you do obtain it, you don't even enjoy it. You're ready to start at the base of the next hill and work your way
mm-hmm.
up. So, right? Now, there's another form of perfection. So not only do I hold myself to this perfectionism standard, but maybe you hold the world to this perfectionism standard. In work, let's say you're a perfectionist, you might find that you are overwhelmed at work because you won't delegate anything out, because I can't give it to Joe or Mary because they don't do it like I do it. So
right.
I'm just going to have to do it myself, right? And then if you do pass it off, because now you're like, I'm totally overwhelmed. Okay, I'm going to have to give this to like the best of the worst person here. Great. Okay, so you hand it over to Mary. Now you're micromanaging her. So now you become controlling. She realizes you don't trust her. It's a vicious cycle. And the same thing in the household. If you're holding, let's say, the husband to this perfectionism standard, and he's like, hey, babe, I'll go do the grocery shopping for you. And then you fall over because you're like, ugh, you can't do the grocery shopping. You won't do it like I do it. So now you're working till 9 o'clock tonight, and you find yourself in the grocery shopping racing through before they close at 10 because your husband doesn't grocery shop like you shop. So spouses, partners, they want to help. Be okay. Be trusting, delegating these things out. People aren't going to do it exactly the way that you do it, but that's okay, so you can free up time and find more fulfillment and find more balance. So, yeah, perfection can be very detrimental.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something I had to learn to let go of a long time ago. And yeah, it makes your life so much easier when you don't micromanage and you don't expect perfection from everything, and you just, so important. Another point that you made in your book, which I really like, is you talk about leading with confidence and not aggression. I think that a lot of people think that to assert themselves, they have to be aggressive. But
yeah.
That's not so, is it?
No, it's not. And I think that a lot of times we have, you know, for a long period of time, men were in the CEO and in leadership positions. So we learned from them, okay? As time evolved, we learned from them. How did they get ahead? They used aggression. They positioned themselves right. They got up there through that. Well, society doesn't like when women do that. That's just a fact. And so I said, since I can't beat society and I can't be aggressive and push people over. I can't be aggressive and say, hey, I need this job. You're going to give it to me right now. Since I can't do that, how can I beat them? And I said, oh, wait a minute. I know how women can move themselves up without being aggressive. And that's by bringing their best asset to the table, and that is confidence. There are a lot of women that lack confidence. I was one of them at one point. But now I see how quickly I can move up, how quickly I can position myself to get what I've worked very hard for, and that all came from confidence. I'm confident in what I know. I focus on what I do know. If I don't know it, I don't go there. I'll respectfully decline something. But that is what we need to bring. It is what I call in the book incognito aggression, and that's our confidence. If you go into a room and you're like, wow, that woman over there, who's she? Like, maybe she's like running it, and she's not even running the event, but you think that she is. That's probably because she's exuding a level of confidence. Think about, you know, wow, we have a woman running for president, Hillary Clinton. I mean, she, you know, while I'm sure she's got some aggressive traits, she's very confident. She knows her stuff. You know, think just about women that you really want to be like, or women that you're like, wow, man, she's got it together. She's probably a very confident woman. So I encourage you, instead of, you know, being aggressive or any type of those behaviors, I really encourage you to switch over to exuding your confidence and showing your worth. And I think that you will, I know that you will move up relatively quickly and get to where you're trying to go.
That's right. That's right. We have to be, we tend to react to negative feedback, and you do talk about that also in your book. You say don't internalize the negative feedback. And when you and I were talking before the show started, you were saying how you don't mind, you'll beat on doors over and over and over. And I know with myself, you know, I'm sensitive sometimes. You know, you don't want doors shut in your face, and you don't want people to tell you what you're doing is wrong. How do we get over that?
Oh my goodness, it is. It's tough. One of the best things that I learned, and how I learned this actually, was from a mentor in my dissertation. It was actually in my master's program before I got into my PhD program. And he had said to me, he goes, Jamie, when you get to the dissertation phase, they are going to reject you over and over and over again. Don't battle it. If, you know, make the changes, do what you need to do. He said, don't internalize it. Don't fight for the wrong thing. He's like, just go ahead, make the changes that you need to do and march on. So I did. So I remember getting my first rejection, my second, my third, my fourth, my 20th, my 80th. I'm telling you, every time I would turn a chapter in, it was wrong. It wasn't right. And I could have gotten very discouraged. And I could tell you, there are people that did that still don't have their PhD. If I did not hear those words, because I am a sensitive person, and I was even more sensitive back then, I would not have my PhD. I would have completely shut down that I just can't do it. I can't get it right. I'm not cut out for this.
That's
and
right.
I would have let that, right? That's what you said.
Right.
But I remember those words that you just, that's the world. The world is going to reject you on things, but there will be a door that opens if you are persistent. So I got the PhD, and that has followed me for so long. So now when it comes to, pretty much anything in life, I say, Jamie, you've got to get 10 no's before you will receive a yes. So my goal is to go ahead and get 10 no's, and then I know I'm due for that yes. So I don't internalize it. I just accept that that's the way the world is, and that really is the way the world is. People don't owe me anything. Not everyone's going to say yes. I might have to work a little harder, might have to learn from the mistake. You know what? I can see why he rejected me, because I kind of need to do this. Or I might be like, you know what? Oh, well, I don't see why he didn't reject me. But you know what? There's got to be someone out there that's going to take me. So I'll knock on the next door. And that's the mentality that you have to go in. And you can't take it personal. And even though you believe in a profession, or even though you believe in your project or your idea, not the whole world is going to buy what you're trying to sell or what you believe in. And that's okay. There's so many things that people preach or do that I don't believe in. That's okay. So why do everyone have to believe in what I'm doing? They don't. So I know, okay, this guy doesn't. I'm going to go to the next door. Maybe this one will open. So don't internalize it. Just take it as that's the way the world is. And you believe in what you believe in? Great. Go knock on the next door, because someone's going to open for you.
Wow. That is so important for us to know.
Yeah. And it's hard. But the one thing that when that person says no, don't give them any more control. Don't give them any more credit. So don't let them take over your day, take over your week, or shut your dream down completely. They don't deserve that much credit. Holy cow. So they can give you a no, but that's it, right? They don't need to run your life. So
that's right.
And then just,
that's right.
Yeah. So, Yeah, and then keep watching the self-talk, because even though they say no, if you walk away and you're like, he's right, I'm really not cut out for this, and then you roll with that thought, you're going to make yourself believe that. So
right. Yeah, you say, accept that there will be barriers on the way to success and fulfillment. I call them hurdles, you call them barriers, you know. But, nothing comes easy. Nothing worth getting comes easy, right?
Absolutely. It's so true. And typically, if you do get something very fast and you didn't work for it, it just landed, that's luck of the draw. And luck runs out. So hard effort, hard work, earning something, it takes a long time to get there, but you get to keep it for a long time. So don't try to be lucky. Don't try to just, be like, am I in the right place? Let's see if I can do this. No, work for it, because the harder you work, the more sweat you put into it, the longer it's going to sustain, the longer you're going to keep it, and the more fulfillment you're going to feel.
I love your advice. I mean, you just say all the right things. This is so valuable to all women. I know it's very valuable to me. I need to hear all these things. I could probably hear them at least once a week as a reminder.
You can just call me up and I'll be like, okay, here's our 15-minute pass,
right.
And then we'll...
Right, let's go over these things again. But I know they will resonate in my head, because this show is so perfect for me today, because these are things that I need to hear. We're 36 minutes into the hour, so I want to give you an opportunity to say whatever we have not covered. So I'm giving you the floor.
Okay, wow. So let me just send you off with some points really quick. And that would be, if you want more balance and you want more fulfillment, I encourage you to do a couple things. One is rid of the toxic people in your life. So I encourage you to create a list of all the people that suck your energy, that plant seeds of doubt, that control you, that corner you, that hurt you, that make you cry, and either delete them off the list or set boundaries with them. And more, exactly how to do that and how to set the boundaries, all that content's in the book if you want like ins and outs about that. Another thing that I would encourage everyone, another tip out there for everyone to achieve more balance and fulfillment, worry when it's time to worry. So often, even if there's nothing to worry about, we then start worrying. We're like, oh my God, things are going too good. Things are going too good. Something bad is it's going to be mega. It's going to be a mega bad thing because things are going too good. So you're worrying because your life is good. So worry when it's time to worry. Worry when the event actually happens. You can plan for things, but don't ruminate, dwell, and spend all your energy on something that's probably not even going to happen. And then the last tip that I would go ahead and give everybody would be, I would say no impulsive decisions. We talked a little bit about that. That can really put you into living in a crisis mode. So when you make decisions, whether they're with a partner or spouse, whether they are with in your profession, get in the habit of doing a retreat, rethink, react. Walk away from it, rethink about it, and then react. So in the middle of a fight with a spouse, go ahead, retreat, leave, walk away, rethink about the future of your relationship, not being right, and then come back and then react. So those three tips will really put your priorities in perspective, will give you fulfillment and balance.
Wow, great advice. So your book is... The Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment, Step-by-Step Strategies to Create Work-Life Balance. Where can we find this book? And I also want you to mention the India thing when you say this.
Oh, yes. Okay, sure. So you can find my book at drjamiek.com. Drjamiek.com. You can find info on the book. You can find info on the workshops. Anything that you need to know is going to be right there. And then, yes, the India thing. I'm pretty excited to say that I recently signed a contract. I guess it's considered foreign rights. My book will be translated in India. They have 1 billion people there, so I could not be more thrilled to be able to reach such an amazing population, such a big population of people to be able to spread this word. So that is in the works, that is in the making, that is happening. So I'm going to not be a perfectionist, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to enjoy that it's actually happening. So I'm very thankful.
Yay, I'm applauding you. I'm applauding
Yay,
you. I think that's great. That's so exciting. So if anybody wants to contact you, say about your workshops or whatever, say your website again.
Yep, drjamiek.com. drjamiek.com.
Right, it's J-A-I-M-E.
Yes, and you know what? I made a good business move. That was me right there. And you can spell it either way, and it will route to my website. Trust me, I thought about that. So whether it's J-A-I-M-E or J-A-M-I-E, I am getting you to my website. So yes, drjamiek.com.
That's perfect. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I just think that your words are invaluable, and this is an every woman book, you know, and you made it small. Like you say, it's a purse size.
Yes,
it fits right
in
the purse. So you always have Dr. Jamie. You always have Dr. Jamie in your pocket if you need her.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm using that slogan. I'll give you 10% of all royalties.
Oh, I think that's great. Dr. Jamie in your pocket. Perfect. There you go. But anyway, yeah, it is wonderful. And the workshops that you conduct, do you do them online, or do you do them in Tampa where you live, or how's that
you
work?
You know, we've had them in South Florida, and we're going to be branching out nationwide, actually. So I'm very thrilled about that. For more details, they can just go to the drjamiek.com, and it'll give upcoming workshops as we start scheduling them. And as for online, that's been a huge demand, so expect that in the very, very near future.
Okay. Great, great news. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is a wonderful, wonderful, informative show, and I so appreciate you giving us your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I was thrilled to be here, so thank you.
You're welcome. All right, well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and keep us posted on all the changes that are going on. You just have some very exciting things coming up. All right, well, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. So unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always RANDIGFINE. And my website is randygfine.com. Come visit me. I have great articles there. I have links to pretty much everything I do. And I would also like you to become a show follower. If you do that, you'll be advised of all the programming that's coming up. Dr. Jamie was fantastic. And I have some more very, very fantastic shows, and you don't want to miss them. So if you become a show follower, you'll always be alerted to that. I'd like to mention I have a new Facebook page, Compassionate Support for Narcissistic Abuse Survivors. I would love for you to visit that if this is an issue that is near and dear to your heart. If you need help, there's always going to be free advice there. So I urge you to come see my new Facebook page about that. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.